Let's all go to the live stream. That's right. We're live today with our first Tuesday conversation with John Willis from Special Operations Equipment. He's not going to comply today. We've got Jack Spirko from the Survival Podcast. I'm Nicole Soss from Living Free in Tennessee. I got my tax slave shirt on. We are actually getting close to the day. I don't need to wear this every single week, so I'm looking forward to that. I got a good collection of SOE shirts I get to wear right after that moment. So anyway, today we've had a lot go on in the last month, and yet nothing has changed all that much. What do you think about that, Jack?
What?
There's been a lot of breaking news and then changes and then breaking news and then nothing changes.
There was a lot of talk, but it's the same shit. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
all right.
Same shit, different day.
We're going to
get the Epstein files. There's no Epstein files. Nobody gets arrested. We're going to drop the JFK files. Let's drop, 88,000 pages of crap? All scanned, so you can't even search it. But then somebody at least did take that, and they used AI, and in 18 hours, that was a searchable database. But it doesn't really do anybody any good. And I don't know why anybody thought that was going to matter. I mean, I was for it, but it was like, do you really think that the CIA wrote down, contacted Oswald today, told him to go to the book depository? I mean, come on. I don't know. It is pretty much a lot of talk, but the same shit. But there is some crazy stuff going on, we're trying to end World War III possibilities in Europe while we try to start them in the Middle East. But I guess that's the same, too. Last 30 years, it's all been the same.
It's the same but different, man.
It's the same but different, man. All the way back, what was that, 83 or 84, right? For those that know where it's from. If you don't know where it's from, you have to look it up.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can.
It's probably not a super PC movie.
No, and it's probably not. If you put in the same but different, man, I don't know if you'll actually, in Google, I don't think you'll actually find where it's from.
Hey, Jack, Radio Made Easy says that he wants to sponsor TSP and LFTN. Let me know how.
He can talk to you about sponsoring LFTN. I don't have any room for sponsors.
Yeah.
I just don't. I have a waiting list that's some of the people have been on it years. So he can talk to me about doing a discount if he wants to for MSB. But way you talk to me about anything is
email
send me an email to Jack at the survivalpodcast.com. TSPC in the subject line. That's how you contact me. You can do it like this, but I'm not going to remember. But that's what I have. I have openings for MSB supporters. I don't have any sponsorship openings.
Gotcha. So, I understand tariffs are going to really, really go in effect tomorrow.
Really, really, really.
Really, really, really this time. It's different. The headline I read was that this is why this time is different.
Mm.
What say you?
Oh, that's the day after April Fool's, so...
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, that's why he said he wasn't doing it today. He's going to do it today.
That is something that is Trump-like, right? Being aware enough to take that approach. I'm not freaking doing it on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Instead, it's been declared Liberation Day.
I don't know how liberating it'll be. We'll see. I mean, there's things that are happening that you can look at as wins already, but are they really because of the tariffs? Hyundai, I think in Tennessee or Kentucky or somewhere around you guys, is building a steel plant, and they're putting $6 billion into it. That sounds impressive, but $6 billion steel plant, $6 billion ain't what it used to be. It takes a while to get them up and producing. And was that already coming? How long does it take to get the permits to break ground on a plant that apparently they already have? Is this something that was coming a year ago? I don't really know. But that would be, if that is because of the tariffs or the threat of tariffs, that would be a win. And I can say, and we have a mutual friend that would attest to this, Nicole, that a lot of shit got built in America because of the first round of Trump's tariffs in the 2016 term. Where Chinese companies came over here and built manufacturing in the United States because tariffs. And in this case, on the Texas coast, and what they actually were doing, they built the factories adjacent to gas wells that had been like, there's not enough gas to make them viable for production anymore, but there's still gas. So they built these factories on the Texas coast. They plugged into that gas and they generate their own power for their own factories without paying for the power from the grid. And they have essentially free electricity. So like that all did happen, you know, because of Trump's tariffs. And a lot of things that happened during the Biden administration, like the huge Samsung plant down in Austin, that really is because of some of the things that Trump did in his first administration. So I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think, John?
Well, what he said was they're pushing through all the permits. They're doing all of this within a period of a couple of weeks. He's fast tracking it. And he said they're going to let them build their own power generating facilities right on their own site also. And yeah, he's pushing all that through. And they keep talking, you know, safe nuclear energy. And I know you had a dude on a couple of years ago that was talking about micro nuclear facilities and yeah, the thorium or whatever the mm-hmm, other stuff is. And I think that's I think that's what they're talking about. How fast that'll happen, I don't know. I did see somebody talking interesting about the California wildfires and all those houses there on that beach, how they're going to push this through. And the mayor and the governor said, we're going to fast track all these permits. But he said all these septic systems that are literally right on the beach, they were made in the 40s. So now they have to come through and put in millions and millions of dollars to sequester in an underground seawall. And he's saying there's no way they're doing this shit. It's going to take years before they're even able to break ground because there's every place in Santa Barbara. I think it was Santa Barbara there.
Okay.
He said every one of those is on their own. They're on septic. There's no city sewer there.
I mean, I don't remember the number of the houses lost in the Palisades, which I think is kind of where you're talking about. But it's over 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fast track talk, they've approved 4 building permits so far. And so when you say like they're going to fast track shit for like these steel plants and stuff, I don't know. Maybe if like the Secretary of the Interior or something gets on the phone with like the governor of the state that it's being done in and says, hey, do you want this shit or you want me to put it somewhere else? Maybe you can fast track it that way because there's layers of permitting for any of this construction. And your biggest bottlenecks tend to be at the state level and the county level rather than the federal level.
Sure.
So I don't know, can they actually do it? I guess you could. I mean, if you get a couple key people from your administration on the phone with the governor of Tennessee and be like, bro, you're doing this or we're going to pull the plug on you. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, we have a mutual network community member / listener who's been to both of our workshops, Jack, who lost. He had 7 feet of water in his house in Florida.
Oof.
For Helene. And that was in October. And he said he lives across the street from his house in a rental.
Okay.
Still unable to officially start anything. And they're enforcing the code restrictions on not being able to build while he waits for them to get around to being able to look at things and approve the permits to rebuild what was already there.
Yeah,
and they're trying to get everybody to build 2-story things instead of one, you know, like they're trying to get all this other stuff through. But yeah, he's losing his mind. He's like, well, he's not losing his mind. He's like, I'm just resigned to this is what's happening.
But see, that's Florida.
Yeah.
If you don't expect that in Florida, right? Come on, DeSantis, get your shit together.
Yeah, imagine how much worse California is going to be.
Yeah. Meanwhile, North Carolina, I think they just suspended permitting for if you lost things in the flood.
Yeah, I've heard some of that.
Yeah. And that makes a huge difference in recovery. We saw that in Katrina, too. Places, localities that just said, never mind, no permits. People built stuff again. But then there is a long-term economic impact where people are hesitant to rebuild in the place. So that's what California will be facing with the wildfires is the lots will, you know, people are going to say like, I'm not going to rebuild. I'm out. Right. So then you think, oh, I'll buy lots cheap. Well, historically it takes, you know, 10, 15 years for the values to come back up as people are still freaked out about the disaster that happened.
Well, and what good's a lot you can't build on?
Yeah. Right. What good's building on a lot when it's the only house there for like in a suburban setting for miles?
You know who causes all this shit too? Again, we're talking about federal and state, you know, counties. The counties are the ones causing all this shit more than anybody else with holding up the building process and all because they're constantly trying to ramrod things in that artificially inflate property values
yep.
so that they can collect more in property taxes. That's what I mean. if you want to build a place in friggin' around here right now, it takes literally a day. A day and $500 for your septic permit. And you could start building like this week. However, in Dallas County, 2,000 square foot minimum. Tarrant County, 2,250. Just over here in Johnson County, 2,500 square foot. If you're not building at least that big, you can't even build. And it's all a freaking money grab. And that's why all these young people trying to start out that are looking for that 1,400 square foot, three bedroom, two bath, classic starter home, those houses are selling for really two times what they're worth because they're in such short supply of those smaller homes. And who's buying them? Fucking boomers. Because boomers have money. So the boomer wants to get out of their giant six-bedroom giant house they don't want to take care of anymore and buy a little retirement house. And they don't give a shit that a house that was $75,000 10 years ago is $205,000 today because they're selling their McMansion for freaking $500,000 or more.
Yep. More.
So they're buying up all the little houses, and that's just sticking everybody in the 25 to 35 demographic at that first house thing, and it's pushing them all into apartments and as tenants to like shithole houses, like duplexes and stuff.
Yep. They just raised all the property values here. They just doubled everybody's property taxes, like literally overnight doubled them.
I could actually hear screaming all the way here from there when that happened.
Oh yeah. There was people like, we're going to burn that guy's house down. Like it's wild to watch it happen. Like pitchforks and shit.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't tried tarred and feathering in a while.
I think we're due for it.
And when we did tar and feathering, we didn't go to England and grab the king, which would have been the federal government at the time. They went after, like, I'm just saying, it was like local tax collectors, guys that were right there. That's who they tarred and feathered because the tar and feather was here and he was there. And it wasn't a big move to get them together. I'm just saying. I feel a T-shirt in this.
We did one.
John's shop or my shop or both.
We did.
Shop.
Do one. We did a beautiful tar and feather T-shirt.
Oh, I remember it now. Yeah, I have it. I have it.
You could go change.
I think it's kind of faded.
Jack's going to do a costume change now.
Yeah. No, but I think it's kind of faded at this point. I think it was quite a few years ago. Yeah, and nobody did it, so maybe we need, like, everybody to bring out some tar and feather merchandise.
Wasn't it, like, holding politicians accountable since? Is that the one that it was, John? Or
We've done that, too. They were probably combined. Yeah, we've
done that. Was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, since 1775.
Yep.
Tar and Feather Inc. But you know, the point I'm making there is that so much of the grief that we look and we say DC is responsible for this, and God knows they're responsible for a lot of grief. It's actually our local governments that are responsible for the majority of interruptions in our lives. It really is. Or the majority of hurdles to get something done in our life. It doesn't come from the federal government. It comes from your county and your city.
Well, the big projects come, you know, federal, the federal grant money and such. It used to be, you know, Agenda 21 and, you know, Agenda 2030. What's the other word for it, Nicole? The more benign city planning words. But it all gets
smart growth, and now it's smart cities or no, it's.
There's yeah. The word he's talking about, though. And
America 2050. Yeah. Because the federal money comes down for this 5-lane road out here, and it comes down every year, and they have to make so much progress. And then they come through and tear a bunch of shit up. And then the next year, more money comes through and part of it has to go to this project. And this project's been going on for 20 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're literally, I mean, you've been here. They're putting it's a 4-lane road with a center median. So it's a 5-lane with sidewalks. Where are the sidewalks going? To the swamp? Like literally that's what's out here. But they're putting sidewalks in and the sidewalks have handicap divots so that scooters can get through them.
Are they planning to just build a bunch of commercial stuff out there? I always wonder that when I drive through that construction zone.
So this is what I'm saying. Like when the call's hitting on anybody hasn't been to where you are, does not even understand how absurd what you're saying is.
Yeah.
Like when I'm at your place, it's always during a big event. There's like 500 people that are never in Camden. Yeah. So it's the heaviest traffic there is. And you can stand at that road for sometimes 5 minutes without seeing a vehicle go by.
Yep.
And they're turning it into a 5-lane shithole with sidewalks, probably sidewalks on both sides because, you know, God forbid you have to cross the street to walk on a sidewalk.
Well, there's going
to
be crosswalks painted on, I'm sure.
Well, it is sidewalk. It's literally sidewalks.
Sidewalks. Where's my bike trail, though? I need a bike trail to go with all that. A bike trail and some benches to sit on when I'm riding my bike. And if they're going to be scooters, then we need to have charging ports for the electric scooters and the electric bikes. It's because we know that once they do this, everybody in Camden is going to start commuting to work and back on electric bicycles and scooters, right? Because that's what people in Camden, Tennessee are going to do. This is absurd. And so I'm telling you guys, it's worth looking up SOE on Google Maps, switching to the satellite view and zooming into this highway that goes by his place to understand how stupid this is.
Yeah, we don't even have sidewalks.
They don't even have sidewalks in the city limits. So, but we'll put them out in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing.
Yeah, Lee's here in town. Like we really don't. I think we have what, 3 stoplights in the entire city.
Yeah.
But see, John, you're just a typical conservative. You don't want progress. You don't understand. As soon as those sidewalks and the electric charging stations come, the whole place will boom into a new economic boom. People will come from all over the world to live in Camden and build little hippie businesses on your highway just because of the sidewalks. But you don't want that to happen. You're just a big meanie.
Yeah, I do not want it to happen.
He doesn't want it to happen.
We laugh. We
got
laugh
good news at, for you then.
We laugh at the guy every time we pull into the restaurant where the electric charger is for the cars. Like we always laugh at those guys.
Yeah. There's 4 of them at my local Albertsons, and I consider them Jack's personal parking spot.
Yeah.
There is no fine for parking there with a non-electric vehicle. And let me be clear. Like, I'm not a total dick. If the 3 of the 4 had vehicles that I'm charging, I'd be like, you know, I'm not going to do this today. But I have literally never seen anybody park in one of those spots ever, ever.
Yeah. They have electric charging at Sam's Club, which I went over there to pick up more shelves yesterday. And I've never seen anybody use one of those ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just never have. Yeah. And I don't think they're like even a good deal if you own a Tesla or another EV, right? Like, I think the charge that the price they charge you for it, like you would only do it if you're like, fuck, I'm not going to make it home.
Oh, you have to pay for those?
Fuck yeah, you have to pay for
the electricity you're putting.
I guess I never put that together. There's a bunch of them sitting right as you get into Nashville.
You gotta pay for it. No, it ain't free. You don't get free electricity.
There's a bunch of them at Target, and they have diesel generators. They have big diesel motors on those things. And there's like, I go, drive past this. Let's see what this is. And we drive past, and there's a bunch of like people just in there reading or on their laptops.
Yeah.
Charging their electric cars in the middle of the night.
For half an hour or whatever.
Everybody I know who has an electric car says this. It's when you buy the electric car, it pays for itself in like almost no time to put the proper plug in at your home.
Yeah.
Because it's so much cheaper to charge at home. And in California, they have like nighttime cheaper rates and stuff. So you can do it at any time of day.
Yeah. John said it's totally worth, if you're going to do all that, you throw a couple power walls on the house and then you might as well throw solar.
Yeah. The reason those expensive stations are even necessary is travel.
Yeah.
Like John did when he drove up from Texas.
That's exactly what they're necessary for. If they were free, I would fucking buy a Tesla. Right.
I
would just go up there and charge my vehicle all the time, bring it home and run my house off my car then if it was free. But the crazy thing about my Albertsons place, for each 2, so there's 4, so they have 2 of these giant fucking screens. These things are like 8-foot tall, and they're like vertical, like a giant cell phone screen. And they're constantly flashing all kinds of bullshit. And you can just hear the coolers, especially in the summer, to keep that thing from cooking itself to death running. And I'm like, this fucking thing is using as much electricity to run this screen as it would dump in a Tesla in half an hour. This is nonsensical bullshit. I don't get it. Like, when they first started talking about this, I was like, well, I was looking at, like, all the car parks and going, well, you know, people pay for covered parking in Texas so that you don't get into the car and it's, like, 195 degrees. So people are paying for this parking spot. You have all this covered parking and all these office spaces. Throw solar panels up there and start charging cars. Like, that would make sense. And the person that, you know, because like at the office I had a covered spot like that because I wanted one and I was willing to pay for it. Most of the employees parked out of the cover. They didn't want to pay for it. So the person that already is paying for the covered spot is probably the person that can afford the EV and can afford the charging. That way, every day when you go to work, you get charged up. There's nothing like that, though. All it is these retarded things. And you know why? Every single one of them was paid for, not by Albertsons or, you know, whoever's parking lot it's in. It was all paid for with federal tax dollars. And that's why, because they're like, we'll give you the money if you put it in. Well, anybody's going to say, okay, I'll take the money. I'd put one in my front yard if they give me the money to put it in there, and I'll even let people use it just at the park outside the fence, and I'll run it through to them, and they have to pay.
That's what they say about building. Like, you see these new housing projects going up, and so many units have to be low income. So they put these low income in because the federal money will pay for all the infrastructure. They'll pay for the sewage and the roads and all the lights and everything. And you have to have low income for 2 years. Those units are always tore up afterwards. They refit them, and then they don't have to be low income after the 24 months. So the feds put tons of money into that bullshit.
Go ahead.
We got a gas station here in town that just put up a huge, Tad actually helped with it, put up this huge solar system. Very nice, very nice. And he paid $160,000, and he's supposed to get this tax credit back. Well, when all the Doge shit went through, everything's kind of on hold. So he's a little panicky about this, whatever this piece that was supposed to come back, it'll work itself out. But all that shit got put on hold. But he does have his whole entire station will run off of this thing. And he's got this whole little hill that's got all of these solar panels on it. And then he's got solar on the roof, and then he's got battery packs.
Yeah. We're having a fun background conversation about electrical cars, too. My favorite one is there a mobile charging service for when people miscalculate?
There is. Says
it's called a generator.
Yeah, it is. It's a dude with a generator.
Yep. Yeah, or you just keep a generator in your trunk with a gallon of gas.
We could not do a normal Saturday from here going to Nashville and running around with an electric car without stopping and charging it up all the time.
I'm not sure about doing that. A lot of the Teslas now have like 330 mile ranges.
Mm-hmm.
So would that not work for you going to Nashville, run around and come back 330 miles?
Not on a normal Saturday. No.
Okay.
No,
they go do stuff, Jack.
Oh, okay. I guess when you live that far from, you know, anything approaching Nashville, when you go, you have to get everything fucking done while you're there.
We're always just bing, 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 bing.
Well, you need a hybrid. That way you have both.
Need.
Oh, I need a gas motor.
Yeah. Yeah. You need a gas motor.
It works perfect.
So what you were talking about earlier with the federal funds and like Section 8 housing and shit like that. This goes back so far that like, a lot of the areas in New York City did it. They ended up with a lot of problems, and they had all this federal money that the problem came with. And what they ended up doing is taking some of the federal money, and they went to the mayor of Allentown and said, if we move people over there and we give you the money that comes with them, will you take them? And this happened in the late 90s, and it completely destroyed Allentown. I mean, the whole place. Like, it's – Allentown was – you know, despite the Jimmy or the Bill, whatever his name is, song, Billy Joel song, was like a real blue collar town. That's why that song was even written. But even after the steel mills fell and all, you could just walk through Allentown. You weren't in danger walking through Allentown. When I lived there in the early 2000s, like there were parts of Allentown you just didn't go to if you had a brain. You had to be an idiot to go there. And that's when I did all the way back then is when I did that research and find out, well, what the hell happened to this place? Because I used to go there when I was a kid, and I didn't remember it being like that. And that's what it was. They brought in all of those low-income housing people, and all the problems that come with that came with them. And then the money ran out because New York gave them a portion of the money. And then once the money was gone, they're like, it's yours now. Bye. You know, of course, did New York learn from that? No, they just redid it all over again. So if you think moving people around is new, it's not.
It's sad because some of the best places in the country are the best places to go in the country because the way they developed was people moved there and built whatever over time. And now you just can't do that. And so when you're in a rural county like John and I are, the best, like the cool thing about Camden is it sort of became Camden on its own.
Yeah.
But now if you want to expand Camden, it has to have, you know, all of this. I mean, I don't know how bad it is there in Camden. I know how bad it is here. It has to have specific things. And as the county government cops to that, the bigger the houses are, the more tax revenue they get, the less and less it's going to be that more organically created cool place.
So in the county, we still have no codes or zoning. Now, they definitely are chomping at the bit trying to change that. But as of right now, like, we didn't pull permits on any, we still don't pull permits. We just kind of do what we want to do.
We pull permits on electric here right now.
So electric, right? So to energize, and our electric dude, like, if you pull our panels, they look like some of the shit that Geiger from, you know, Aliens did. It's like a full blown schematic. It's incredible, all the wiring. But as far as we had left here Saturday, and I had a message come through, and I guess iPhone transcribes any voicemails. I didn't even know I had voicemail. And a sheriff says, "Hey, Sheriff so and so, can you call me right away?" So I call him back. I'm like, "What's this going to be?" He said, "Hey, did you guys happen to be shooting today?" I said, "No, nobody's shooting on our property." He said, "Did you hear any gunshots?" "Yes, of course. Everybody shoots. Do you know who it was?" "No, I don't know who it was. Everybody shoots here." But that's where we live. So a kid had shot and a bullet hit a house. It ricocheted off or whatever. But it's just awesome that the sheriff's like, "Hey, were you guys shooting out there?" Everybody shoots out here so frequently.
Yeah.
That we just do whatever we want to do.
And for your now. Sheriff is the person you need to get to know for sure.
We have
a rural area.
Our sheriff has done us right several times.
Yeah.
What's the lockdown procedure though on this? So the shit that's happening in Camden doesn't happen to places that aren't having the problem yet. Cause it's like, this problem is like cancer. It just keeps crawling and metastasizing. Do you have to like go out to West Texas where property's cheap and you can move in 1,000 people? And at that point, you could literally own the county government with 1,000 people.
Yeah, it'll creep.
You can completely take over. But then you live like it's like one step soft of Mars, because at least you have oxygen, right? And it's not 5 below 0 in the summer, but it's like 120 degrees and there's no water and you can't grow anything without a well with a giant window. Like,
so 20 years ago,
is that the only place left?
20 years ago, everything was wild here.
Yeah.
10 years ago, you see forests and stuff get knocked down, and then they leave the ground to a road, and then, you know, kudzu comes in or whatever. But you get these, like, we have a zoning guy now in city that seemingly came from nowhere, moves here from Chicago, doesn't seem to have any links to the area, comes in, and the first thing he does is go, "You guys can't have chickens in city limits." Well, these people, that we have full-blown farms in city limits. And he says, "Well, you have to have 5 acres to have a farm." Well, there's a ton of farms that are like 1 acre with all kinds of animals. And his big pet peeve, his personal mission is to harass people with chickens. I can see if he goes, "Hey, don't have roosters. Or if you have some chickens, keep them confined in your fence," or whatever. Like, even that's unreasonable to me. But well, let's say that. But that's not what he does. He literally is going around knocking on people's house door. He's literally walking in people's houses and just causing chaos.
Who is this guy? Like, what's his position?
He is the zoning, the city zoning guy.
Permit
We don't fall under his purview out here. He can't come out here. But he, like, dude, if you want to see some crazy Jerry Springer kind of shit, get on our local Facebook group. It is insane.
It's just, it's kind of crazy to me, because I can picture the place I grew up in rural PA. If somebody had done that back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Even here 10 years ago.
Maybe going for a ride and being dropped off naked at the end of the coal road, and then having to walk back to the highway naked with handcuffs on, like happened to a certain game warden. I'm just saying, like, but I believe that, like, I don't have false nostalgia to believe that the place I grew up in is still like that. No, these people would take this shit now. And it's like, over that 40-year period, every bit of backbone in rural America has just crumbled. And I wonder how much of it really is the rise of, like, meth and shit in the 90s. Like, that seemed like it just, that ripped out the backbone of rural populations.
Yeah.
Which maybe they did do it on purpose, huh?
Legal for a fee. That's it exactly. And he comes in acting like such a fucking asshole. Like, there's just no reason. Like, you go take
Does
some
this fucker have to stand elections, or is he appointed?
No, he was appointed. He did not get elected.
No,
people
bizarre.
Who appoint them do face elections.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of crazy shit going on. So there's a bunch of money comes in. They buy up these buildings. They talk about how everybody's complaining, like, their electric bill literally was doubled for a couple months during the winter.
Yeah.
And the city's got all these buildings sitting empty with the lights on, just running the lights, power's on, everything's going. And there are a lot of people up in arms over it. And then we have these town hall meetings, but they do them in the courthouse. Well, there's a damn metal detector there. So nobody can record anything that happens. There is no video record of any of this shit other than what they put out themselves. You cannot walk through there because they have a deputy scanning you going through the metal detector, and they won't let you bring any phones in.
Nobody's pushed back on that?
Well, sure they're pushing back, but nobody's done anything about it.
Yeah, that I think that's a violation of open meeting laws in Tennessee.
Well, they're doing it.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah. The guy's saying has a go-kart. There's the electric go-karts. I've got a couple guys with some electric bicycles, and those things are incredible. Like they pull a load. Polaris has made an electric Ranger, a 570 size. It's one of the little smaller ones, but that thing runs forever. It's super quiet. All you hear is just the tires going through leaves. So to have a solar system and batteries to charge, like I have no interest in having a vehicle, but to have a utility side by side to be able to charge those things and those electric bikes, man, they're incredible. The electric bikes will go 70 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen people do conversions on motorcycles. Like they buy a rat, you know, as far as the motors shot, oh, we lost Nicole, like a motorcycle, like a Kawasaki, you know, 750 or something with a blown engine, and they just rip all the engine out of it. They've got all the gearing, and they convert it to electric, and they'll use like two or three of the gel cap batteries, and they'll run for freaking half a week.
Yep.
On that, because that's where electric makes sense. Because if you look at everything an EV manufacturer does, is to attempt to lighten the vehicle without compromising safety, right? Like but there's so much battery in there. The battery weighs so much. Like the way that will ever really work is if they ever actually figure out how to make carbon-based capacitors, where they're basically taking graphite, taken to another level, and they actually make it a storage capacitor, because you can store massive amounts of energy that way in a very small, lightweight area. That's your super battery. Problem is they've been able to do it since the 80s, but only about like 3% of the stuff they fabricate actually works. So they can't make it in mass. It's even worse than trying to bake silicon chips. Like, it just, and they don't even know why it doesn't work. Like the two look the same. This one works. This one doesn't. They haven't figured it out.
There's some graphene batteries out there that you can get in like double A's already. Yeah. That's supposed to be the new miracle. But then
that's coming from this school of thought. But this is it's like that's a graphene battery. This is more of a supercapacitor type situation, right? Like it's the same reason. Like when you work on an old television set, like you unplugged it, you still have to discharge some of the capacitors because it'll fry your ass.
Right, yeah.
Plug in. Like it's doing that on purpose is what it is.
Is the King of Biltong, is that Anton?
That is Anton.
Awesome.
Anton hates money.
Write a song about the King of Biltong now. That
Anton hates money. Anton just came up to the beef processing workshop at Crunchy Mama Farms. He brought everybody a little bag of Biltong and some seasoning for free. You know,
Nothing to sell.
A whole big box of shit to sell. You got all these people up there paid a whole bunch of money to go process beef. My grandson sitting there with like $80 burning a hole in his pocket.
Yep.
And Anton shows up with no product. What's
up, buddy? We had a buddy that makes holsters, right? So he shows up to Glock Day at one of the largest ranges in Nashville. You know what he didn't bring? He had no holsters for Glocks.
I mean, I will do that with my head, but I've also done that with my coffee one time. Where people are like, Nicole, do you have coffee for sale? I'm like, no, I don't. But I am here. Now I always keep at least 10 pounds in the car if I'm going to an event, just in case.
I will tell you, Nicole, there is a potential for like a Holler Homestead Texas edition right up at Crunchy Mama. Anton's moving there like 5 miles up the road.
Oh, cool.
There's a house across the street that I've looked at up there. Like I could pretty much sell this place and buy that place and be free and clear if I did it. But then I'd have to move. But it's a cool place, and it's not that far. It is like an armpit town, but you can get into DFW in about an hour. So you can still have access to things that you need. It's got potential, and there's a lot of land up there, you know, 16 to 60 acres.
Mm. You better take a mini X in there. Make sure you can dig first.
Oh, you can dig there. That's a big part of it. I looked at his place. He's got 60 acres. The guy who was running the shop, And I'm like, pawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, connecting all the pawns. Next layer of pawns. And he's like, well, there used to be a pawn down there, but the whole catchment blew it out. I'm like, oh, we can fix that. Like, instantly, give me a laser level and an excavator in a week, and I could have 10 pawns in that place, 5 connected by 5.
Liberty Seeker, yeah, they're using drones here, too. That's how they know people with gated properties. They're absolutely doing that.
What they did here for a while in some of the cities that you have to get permits for your swimming pools, they just had inspectors pulling up Google Earth,
yeah,
looking for pools and cross-checking to see if there was a permit for that pool. That pool might have been in the ground 20 years. The guy that put it in might have been me who built the house, and he sold it to you, and you're stuck with the bill now. Like, because I did 2 pools in Arlington, and I never got a permit. I'm sure somebody got a phone call over it, but it's tough shit. I'm out.
Isn't that what the title search people are supposed to find?
Yeah. They don't look for that, though. They look at the does the title have a lien against it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the state can put it, or the county can put a lien against it over the pool, but if they haven't done it yet, it's not your problem. See? So they don't actually, like, a title search company's not going to go, let me see, okay, there's a pool here. Was there a, they don't do that. They just look and see if there's a lien.
Yep.
Not so my problem.
A question here. You can ignore the first half. Is ammo legit hedge against inflation, or am I just lying to myself?
You just want to buy ammo, dude. Don't make excuses. Just buy ammo if you want to buy ammo, because it's not a hedge against inflation. It's not.
If you buy the right guns, they
if you buy the right ammo, maybe.
If you
right,
buy the right ammo, if you buy ammo, it does.
I mean, like,
not like Bitcoin.
Remember when you could buy like 7.62-39 Russian? And you could buy it for like a penny a round. Like, I guess that would be the kind of thing. But I think a lot of the boutique expensive ammo, like the 5.7s, like that's actually going to come down in price as more and more people make it. So I think you've got to be selective. Get your hedge against inflation is reloading equipment and supplies, and then you can make whatever you want. And it's not really about inflation. It's that you always can make what you need.
It's also building the capacity within yourself to make more money.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
when I was a teenager, I used to reload for my uncle's friends. Like, they wanted certain loads, and I'm like, what do you want? And I would sell them, you know, ammo for $25 a box, custom hand loads. And that's back when you could walk in any department store and buy 3006, 308, whatever, for $8-$9.
Yep. I do have sampler packs on the website. If there's specific things you want in there, let me know in the comments. If you order one, they are 6-ounce samplers. You get 3 per pack. From Hey Hey Alabama.
Every order we ship out comes with a Hollow Roast K-Pod.
Mm-hmm.
This dude's dedicated. William S. He sells plasma to buy ammo. Now, I do know a guy that figured out how to figured out exactly when and where and what to do, and he fully funds his IRA contributions, his Roth IRA, with plasma donations. So he gives blood, he helps people, and he's funding his retirement. He's our mutual friend of David.
Yes, I know exactly who it is.
Yeah, Voldemort.
I decided to do that. Voldemort. I decided to do that and went in, and they said my veins weren't good enough.
Your veins aren't good enough?
Yeah, your veins have to be big enough for them to take the plasma.
I think I'd be all right.
I was like, well, that's funny because I can give blood. They're like,
yeah,
a smaller needle, ma'am. I was like, fine, whatever.
Whatever. Because, yeah, you can give more plasma than blood.
So next one is, do you do cans of cold brew? No, I will not go into the liquid beverage business. But I do have a cold brew blend on site, and it's not hard to make. But, I guess convenience of a can, I get it.
Sell them a cold brew kit, and it's just a fucking mason jar you mark up 4X.
Yeah. With a screen on top.
With a scoop.
Like, just get one of those Sprouts screens, you know? Those work great. Because they make these inserts. I was going to do a cold brew kit, and then I was like, well, the screen is way easier because you just pour. So I like to cut the time my kitchen takes on stupid things like that, but then I'm willing to make mayonnaise from scratch every time.
But, Nicole, you know how people are. You could literally take a piece of screen, cut it with a pair of scissors, stick it on the jar, put the ring on it, say this is all you have to do, and they would still say, will you sell me one? The problem is the person that says that will then not buy it.
Yes.
And then after they said it, then they'll say, but I can make that myself.
I will say the thing I was wrong about that people kept asking me to do year over year over year that I never did because I didn't, I thought it was going to be like that. Like I would have them and then they wouldn't sell, were those dark chocolate espresso bites that you can no longer get at Holler Roast till it's cold again.
Fucking crack cocaine, man.
It's crack cocaine. It is. And I finally, I was like, well, this year I'll just do them. I wanted to have like a little giveaway for all of my like subscription customers. So they got some free samples. And I was like, well, while I'm at it, I'll list them for sale. And they're just sold out immediately. I ended up doing three batches of them.
The beauty of the subscribe or unsubscribe is that it costs nothing. And you can literally just go click it. If it's a distraction to you more than once or twice, just get rid of it. If you feel that it, and later on, if it's missing in your life, you can always just go back and look at it.
Yep.
They're talking about following and unfollowing YouTube channels.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's too fluffy. I don't know.
Well, you know what's funny is that people are really bothered by their subscriptions, but half the time my subscriptions don't tell me anything's happening. Like, if you want to hear from John Willis, you just got to know he goes live at 9. And you got to look for it.
That's the number one comment on all of our lives is I did not get a notification. And these are paid members. They're subscribers to my private YouTube.
I find that ironic because I always get your notifications. I'm usually in bed. It's like 9:30 at night, and I'm like, oh, good for him. Back in my Star Trek novel or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Unplug my brain before I fall asleep. Yeah. But hey, I think what we all need to probably do is go through our YouTube subscriptions and like purge all the shit that's inactive and we've subscribed to long ago. We're not interested anymore. And it's not about hurting the creator. It's that maybe that's why we don't see things like, because I think some of the stuff that we did subscribe to 15 years ago is what we're not seeing. And it's other things that we just subscribe to. Like there's just so much. I wonder how many subscriptions do I have on YouTube? I bet it's hundreds, if not thousands.
I'm currently getting served just about every presentation that Joel Salatin or RFK has done relating to farming and food. So apparently I was searching some stuff because they'll be like, how about this RFK interview? And I'm like, I can only listen to so many of those at one time.
I get every single thing from Paul Joseph Watson, which I watch occasionally because he's funny. And everything from Natalie Burnell in the Bitcoin space, which I never bother to watch.
Right.
So, like, I don't even think watching actually controls what you get served up. I get tons of biochar shit. There's obvious reasons for that. But I get all kinds of TEDx and, like leftist environmental crap that I have no interest in. And then I click the thing to, you know, not interested, don't recommend this channel, and it just keeps coming.
Yeah, that's not cool.
I mean, the whole point should be you should see what you actually are interested in, and the things you subscribe to should be the things that you get priority and see first. And I think there's even a tab to see what you subscribe to, and it still doesn't really show you that.
Yeah.
And I think you have to hunt for it pretty hard. No, actually, it looks like it's subscriptions. Yeah, but when you – okay, yeah, there is a subscriptions tag. And it says that right now Special Operations Equipment is live with Jack and Nicole.
Yes, I have it shared through my StreamYard. Yep.
Cool.
But there's a bunch of shit in here that I am not subscribed to. I'll tell you right now. There's a bunch of shit in here I've never subscribed to. Holy shit. All kinds of crap. I have no idea how I ended up on, you know.
That's like mind blown.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, I debate lefties so much it keeps giving me more to debate. Look at you want to see a crazy channel? Look at the Midas Touch. It's the polar opposite. You will hear some crazy shit over there.
That's actually good to watch, though, because that's what other people are being.
Yeah, and you're like, I watched that same debate, right? I saw this. Like, were we really watching the same thing? Because your take is not at all what was said.
Going down in flames, the picture of Trump. Like, yeah. Oh, this is a delusional takes channel, and he's got 4.5 million subs because
when all
you tell people what they want to hear, they become attached to you.
And all of his videos have over a million views on them.
And people take that as truth, and that's their source. That's their single source. Like something I want, Jack, is. You know, the measles outbreak and the vaccine causing the measles thing. I tried to find two independent sources for that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find any.
No.
No. So no, you won't. I would like to know where that information was, because that's one of the most relevant pieces of information about that situation.
Yeah. Well, the way you know that the vaccine can cause the measles is that there are people who got the vaccine and then got the measles after getting the vaccine.
Immediately.
Or very, very soon after getting the vaccine. It's also just a case, like, this is not a problem, right? It's the biggest outbreak in Texas in 20 years. Okay. Yeah. So, but it's 200 people in a Mennonite community. And the kid that died, you gave the fucking vaccine to in the hospital when he had three other diseases. I do have sources
forced.
On that.
Yeah, forced you vaccinated. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. So he was forced vaccinated in the hospital while he's sick. And to make a point of how fucking stupid this is, because he had RSV, so he's definitely running a fever. You don't vaccinate somebody while they're running a fever. The end. I would just had an appointment to get my cat's vaccine updated.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere between my wife making the appointment and having to go there, he got a cat fight. He had a huge abscess on his arm, and I'm like, great, tomorrow we're going to the vet anyway. So I take him to the vet, and the vet's like, I'm going to give him a big buttload of antibiotics, and it's unfortunately it's not ready to launch yet, so you're going to have to deal with it when it breaks, which happened 2 days later. It was gross. But I'm like, I guess we can't do his vaccines. And he's like, we can't vaccinate an animal while it has a fever. So a fucking vet won't vaccinate a cat with a fever. But a doctor at a top hospital in Texas will vaccinate a child with a fever. There's a problem there. And I don't care how pro-vax you are, that is a procedural problem. And it's fucking blatantly malpractice is what it is.
Dude, not only that. You have people going in who have had zero of the COVID vaccines. They'll push a vaccine. They'll push the first one and give them two and three boosters at the same sitting. These people are literally melting down. Like, there's tons of videos of this shit.
I just listened to a video of RFK Jr. saying the reason he has that spasmatic dystonia in his throat is from a flu shot. And it happened like right after he got the flu shot. And of course, they told him it's not related.
You know, his sister has the same weird voice. A bunch of people in that family do.
So that could either be it isn't the flu shot, or it's an epigenetic thing that they have this underlying genetic thing. And so epigenetics means on top of genetics, right? So you can have a genetic predisposition to a condition. And if you're never exposed to certain environmental inputs, you never develop the condition. But if you are exposed, then you develop that, and that epigenetic response can be genetic into a family. That's
I had thought I heard that they had both gotten it shortly after some series of vaccinations they had when they were younger. Yeah. I also remember seeing him say that he had a worm in his brain. Did you ever hear him say that?
I've heard people say he said that.
I saw him say it. Okay. I mean, I saw it on a video.
Is it a video that was produced in the last like 6 months, or is it a real video? Because
within the last year.
Yeah, because I don't trust videos at all anymore. Unless the person in the video says it's me.
I got you. Yeah, I'll be watching something, and going right along with it, and you'll hear them pronounce a very common word wrong. You're like, holy shit, this looks like it's real, and it's not real.
Yeah, I have a new bank account where they wanted to set it up so when you call in, it's you program your voice for it to recognize your voice as your password to the thing.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not doing that.
Nope.
And I'm like, why would you even push people that, like, please have the keys to my financial future by voice recognition that can be totally copped by AI? Mm-mm. No way.
No. And don't think it has to be exactly perfect. My wife and her sister sound very similar, especially on the phone to people. Like, they'll have to, but if you're like, I know the difference, right? But either of them can use either of their Hey Siri. So their voices are similar enough that they can unlock each other's phones, even though I can tell the difference. But if I try it with her phone or you know, what have you, or like my granddaughter tries it with grandma's phone, it won't work. So it's not just a female voice thing. It's that they're just close enough. AI can get way closer than Marion and Dorothy. I guarantee you.
Liberty Cast says the Tdap. Is that the tetanus we're talking about? The Tdap?
Yeah, it's the tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis.
So I had said something on live and we had somebody said, hey, I work at a hospital. You can actually order just tetanus if you want to. They typically don't have it. But if you want just tetanus without the others, it is possible to get it, I've been told.
But you actually have to go to somebody that will do it for you, because like a regular doctor won't do it unless you've had an injury. And they'll leave, like I've been through it where like maybe you should get a tetanus shot. And then like the doctor's like, did you have a puncture wound recently? Yep. Did you? And for those that are on the audio only, I'm nodding my head. That's what the doctor's doing, nodding their head while they're asking me, which is ridiculous because it takes about 3 weeks for the tetanus vaccine to build up the antibodies. And it takes about 7 days for the onset of tetanus. So if you wait till you have the puncture wound to get the vaccine, you've done nothing. You're already dead.
And it comes from animals, they said. It's actually in soil. It carries on rust because rust is so porous. It does not actually come from iron oxide, though.
It's not rust. That would be spontaneous generation, like the meat makes maggots thing, right?
Yep. Yeah. The way we're going to get it is we cut ourselves and then go work on our homesteads.
It's when you close the wound. They said if you have a wound, irrigate it. The puncture is the worst because it's so far and hard to irrigate inside the puncture.
And it self-seals. Yep. Like if you've ever punctured your foot with a nail or you punctured it with like a piece of wire, when you pull it out, at first you don't even see anything. So it's that seal up that allows that incubation in your body. Perfect temperature, perfect moisture, all the things to make tetanus go boom.
I got a bone infection from butchering in gloves, and I was using a Rohrmann knife.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I nicked myself, and I looked, and no blood.
Yeah.
You know, and I washed everything, and I just put gloves back on. And I had punctured myself, and it was so sharp that it sealed that quickly without really bleeding. And then the finger got infected, and it went into the bone, and I had to do all sorts of awful antibiotics. But I didn't lose my finger. I still have it.
It was,
in fact, this finger. I was like, I really like my left index finger. I'd like to keep it, please.
Yeah, the crunchy mama people made everybody wear on their offhand a cut-resistant glove.
Yes.
With a nitrile glove over it.
They make nitrile-style gloves that are also cut-resistant, so you can double cut resistance up.
Yeah. So, but what he was doing is, you know, you're going to nick those gloves, and they're going to start peeling, and then you end with plastic in the freaking meat. So, basically, it was this double thing, so that anytime you got a nick, anytime anything looked wrong with your glove, that glove comes off, new glove goes on.
Yeah. I agree with that completely.
The guy running it too, Sean, he actually, you know, he used to be a meat cutter, so he has like his old school meat cutter apron, which is like chainmail.
Oh, we should bring him up to do the butchering at John's. John has rams he needs to get rid of.
He'd be good at it. I learned to pull a freaking ball joint. That was actually the coolest thing I learned at that workshop. And like why you have a rag when you do it, because all the fluid comes out of the kneecap, right? Like basically you're pulling that ball joint off of the leg. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And my grandson got to pull a tri-tip, which doesn't sound like a big deal, except you're letting a 14-year-old kid with no experience pull a tri-tip. You know, it's right there. The rib primal and the tenderloin.
Yeah. So
if you go too far with that, you're fucking up like two pieces of meat that are like $250 value a piece. But he did a great job at it. John's a great teacher, man. If you get a chance to go to one of his butchering workshops, you should do it. It's a totally different level of experience. And I've butchered deer, goats, sheep, antelope my whole life. And it's so easy that you don't realize how much more complex it gets once that animal's over about 500 pounds. And we did one bull that was like right at 800, and he looked little on the pictures I sent you guys. But the other one we did was 1300 on the nose. That thing was a beast. He was just a huge beast. And it was very cool to see what it takes to actually break down something like that. You know, break down something that has rib bones as wide as my forearm. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And no, we didn't get to use any bandsaws or anything. He made everybody use all hand equipment so that they would learn how to do it if they ended up having to do it on their homestead, like a cow goes down because of an injury or something. So you could do it with what you had. It was very, very cool.
Yeah, and cows are big. There was a moment in 2020 where I almost did go out and help somebody butcher their cows because she said she couldn't get any butcher appointments at all.
Yeah.
It's like, we got to process these. And then she got one last minute. And I was kind of relieved because I was like, that's going to be a very long day. And I don't really know what I'm doing. Like, I know how to do a pig and it translates, but I've actually never done a cow. I was like, it may not be as clean of cuts as you want, but we can get it done. The meat will be edible.
What does he mean, TIG? He said, if you get tetanus, you need a TIG. What is TIG? Gamer time.
This one. So if you get tetanus, you need TIG, not tetanus shot.
I've never heard of TIG. The only TIG I know is welding.
That's, yeah. I don't know what he means.
I'm going to, yeah. I'll Google it and we'll see. TIG shot.
Oh, I was about to Google it.
Tetanus immunoglobulin. So it's tetanus.
So just the tetanus. There we go.
Yeah, this is one of these people. He said clip, but he really meant magazine. That's what you're doing there. It's not that important, bro. It's a tennis shot.
Yep. Chainmail gloves are great for butchering. I've never used chainmail, but I've used the cut resistant ones that look like Michael Jackson. Those are the ones. So. Okay. Crunchy Mama Farms.
I'm trying to answer this without derailing us.
Yeah. We're already derailed, but we got some starred things. First of all, Joseph Rodriguez became a member, John. I'm pretty sure that's on your channel.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Question for Nicole. What kind of fat do you use when making mayonnaise? I have been doing, well, I've done one in a series. Every time I make mayonnaise, I'm just videoing it because I use different ingredients every time, including different fat. So the last batch I made, I had olive oil, so I made it with olive oil. And I used vinegar instead of lemon juice. And guess what? It turned out. A month ago, I made it with melted beef tallow. That makes mayonnaise just fine, but it is going to be a stiffer mayonnaise because the fat itself is, you know, pretty stiff at room temperature.
I've never done it. How stiff is the mayonnaise itself once you refrigerate it after you made it?
It's pretty stiff, but not tallow stiff. It's not, like, hard.
Is it like soft butter still?
It's like soft butter is a good way. That's fine. Like a little bit harder soft butter, but not like
refrigerated
butter.
That's good. It'll run off less.
Yeah, it's really good for deviled eggs, that one. Melted bacon grease is great because it's a little less firm. But so, literally, it's a reaction between egg yolks, acid, and fat. So any fat.
So if you take the TIG, can you take the TIG and then have a 5 to 10 year coverage for tetanus, like they say the normal tetanus shot does? Question mark. Homestead Medical, do you know the answer to any of this?
That's interesting. Here?
So I was wrong. I'll just, for the people not privy to the live chat, what Hey Alabama's saying, TIG is a medication provides immediate protection against tetanus. So, okay, if that's true, I've always heard that the tetanus shot itself, it takes 3 weeks. So that might be something newish. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that when I one time thought, I probably should get a tetanus shot, I couldn't even get just a tetanus shot.
Correct, yeah.
TIG is then, is that the same as also a vaccination for the next 7 to 10 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's the deactivated bacteria, right?
I think it's like an active vaccination. When
you supercomputer that would tell us.
I know, that'd be great.
Homestead Medical says, no, it will not last.
A few weeks to months.
Chuck's in the house. Hello, so, Chuck.
TIG is what you get when you have an injury that you suspect is risky, and it only lasts a few weeks, but it works immediately. And the tetanus shot lasts up to 10 years. Okay. Okay, cool. It was a good distinction. It wasn't some nitpicky bullshit. Sorry, dude. I get so much nitpicky bullshit. Sometimes I'm over the top clamming people in the head.
That's really helpful to know, though, because if you feel like you need a tetanus protection, like I get tetanus shots, so I think I'm up to date right now. But the last one I got was just tetanus, and I don't know why, but I was also at a free market medical provider, so that could be why.
Liberty Cast, your life will be a lot better when you stop worrying about other people, man. Find something that you like to do. Do it. Make money. Stop worrying about your uncle. Stop worrying about TDS. You cannot change people, man. Just do awesome shit and let that nephew watch you do that, and he will eventually want to be a part of that. But you cannot fix his father.
Yeah.
The question was how to get somebody off their TDS problem.
You just can't do it.
It's the same with TSS, Trump Savior Syndrome.
Yes.
Yep. There are two sides of the same coin, and it's one of those. When somebody can't listen to an alternative perspective and actually consider, is that real, then they're not going to change.
Yeah,
and they're not in that headspace right now.
It's the, what do I tell the person that, well, you can't tell them anything. It's impossible to tell them anything because the position they've taken has already stated, I denounce logic and reason. I want what I want and only what I want. Right. So if you think that it's okay for us to bomb the fuck out of a country that you didn't think was okay to bomb the fuck out of 2 years ago, you've done that. And if you think you're actually helping by carving a swastika into the door of a Tesla, you've also made that choice. And there is nothing I can do for you other than suggest. I do have a suggestion for a new hobby for people that want something to do. Go to liberal areas, stake out Teslas, take law enforcement grade flex cuffs with you. If you catch somebody in the act of analyzing a Tesla, just you and your boys grab them and flex cuff his ass around a telephone pole. Dial 911 anonymously, right, and say, hey, a guy was vandalizing a Tesla. He's currently flex cuffed to a telephone pole at this location. The Tesla's license plate is. I'm sure the owner will be happy to provide you the video evidence you need. Have a good day. This was a good citizen. Click. I think that would actually have more impact. And don't hurt them. Don't beat them up. Don't set them on fire. Don't do any of that shit. Just basic citizen's arrest as an anonymous. And then do the one thing these people are too stupid to do. Actually wear a mask. Because it turns out when you vandalize fucking Tesla, 8 fucking cameras video everything that you're doing. And they haven't figured this out yet.
It is said that there's a sentry mode, and Tesla has actually activated the sentry mode on all Teslas. So there's a motion sensor.
Yep.
When it detects motion, all cameras come on. I heard they said the White House or somebody had said in a press conference they have almost a 100% success rate on arresting vandalizing on Teslas. You just had a dude stop in front of a 61-year-old woman in Sedona, walked up and punched her in the face several times. She says, I'm going to get my concealed weapons permit now. You're going to have somebody shot over this shit. It's only a matter of days.
They're going to say that we're violent. That's what they're going to do. Yeah. We're violent. Because I'm telling you, if I see you punching a 66-year-old woman in the face, you're getting the Bluetooth hole puncher.
What most are not reporting.
The minute you're committing violence on a senior, like, I'm done. I'm sorry. You don't get to do that. No.
You got the guy in Las Vegas. What a lot of the media did not report is he walked in with a rifle, I believe it was an AR, fired at 3 separate cameras up in the air. Where did those bullets go?
Yep.
Dumped the mag into the dealership and then somehow lit cars on fire where 3 of them fully engulfed in fire. They're saying 30 years of federal crimes. They're saying domestic terrorism is what they're charging these guys with.
And they should. I mean, what is domestic terrorism if it's not targeting a specific group of people and then using violence to intimidate them?
Over politics, yeah.
In fact, I would say the left pushed really hard for hate crime legislation, and this meets – and I'm totally opposed to it, by the way, because I think that my life and your life are equally valuable no matter what color either one of us are. But textbook meeting the definition of a hate crime legislation is you're attacking a specific group for the intent of intimidating them. Tell me that's not what's going on. Yep. So you push for it, take it up the ass. That's the way I see it.
Liberty Cast, it's time to move out of mom's house, dude. If mom is the one and we're having a conversation.
He's talking about his nephew's mom, dude.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it.
He's not talking about his mom. Now, who knows what he's actually talking about? Because I think this is his third account handle, maybe of this stream. I don't know, but he goes in and out and comes back as somebody different.
Yeah. So the party that's supposed to be so empathetic is the party where the people are engaging in vandalizing cars bought by stereotypically a more liberal background originally, who may or may not have the capacity to sell and get a new car at this time, especially in this economy. So, I mean, not that people who were buying Teslas were necessarily impoverished when they bought them, but you don't know what's happened to that person. So let's go key their car and, you know, punch a lady in the nose. Who
don't you see a parallel to like Tulsi, Elon, and RFK there? Like, and Rogan, right? All of these people were like central left-leaning moderate Democrats that are all now like devout on the right because when they said, hey, look, I have a problem with this thing, they were just shoved over there. And everybody's like, "What? Why'd you go over there? Because you hated me and you shoved me over there. And these people were nice to me." You're a liberal. You're driving your Tesla. You're minding your own fucking business. You bought it to save polar bears or whatever fucking motivation you had. And somebody carves a swastika in your door. I'm thinking that might just not make you real keen on voting for the shit that led to the thing that got your car. Like, all of a sudden, there's a consequence to the ideology you're pushing, and it negatively affects you. Because most of these people have never had a negative consequence of their ideology. That's why they have it. They're cocooned in these little bubbles of bullshit.
Bubbles of bullshit.
Bubbles of bullshit.
Oh, so, I don't know why that phrase made me happy, but I like it.
I do, okay. Too. I feel a segment coming on. Bubbles of bullshit.
Bubbles of bullshit.
GT Wholesale.
Bubbles of bullshit with Jack Spirko.
Yeah. GT Wholesale asked if Berkey is still the best option. Berkey had some issues with the FDA over having silver in their filters. The company name has been changed. I have a text right here from them. It's Barrow. It's Bourroux. If you look that up, Barrow is the company, which was Berkey. They do have the filters. You can get them there from Barrow.
.com, by the way.
And it was such bullshit. That was all
complete horseshit.
Like, it qualifies as a pesticide because it kills microorganisms.
Yep. Just like silver making colloidal silver and silver having antibiotic properties and stuff and using silver to sterilize water.
So back when I was a baby homesteader, before I even knew who Jack Spirko was, I got a water test and there was some shit in my water. And I did a bunch of research on filtration systems and they were prohibitively expensive. But then I discovered Berkey water filters. And so from that time until today, that's what has been used in my house. Except last summer, I thought I had a filtration system that was more expensive, but filtered the water as it comes into the house. And I drank that water for 2 weeks before I got Giardia. Holy and then shit. I was sick, very, very sick for 4 weeks. By the time John saw me in October for SRF, I was barely functional, but at least functional again. And I am now fully recovered. After going carnivore for a while and doing a lot of stuff, I am fully recovered about 4 months later. Guess what we're using to filter our water at this point at my house?
I bet it's a Berkey.
It's a Berkey, and I have not had any problems since I went back to the Berkey.
Surprise, now, the Kangen water system will do all of that,
nope.
Correct? It does not?
I did have a Kangen on the end of it, and I had another pre-filter, because Kangen doesn't say they do. They don't say they filter Giardia.
Got it.
So, yeah, that was why I made the chain. I was like, great, now I take it, and I put it through Berkey. And then that's the deal at this point. So, got to know your water and know what you're filtering for. But I love the Berkey, and it makes the water taste good.
It does make the water taste good. I'm not exactly a fan of the way the water out of my well tastes. It's completely safe. We've had it tested. But it, I don't know. It has a – it's so much mineral that it has a certain off-putting taste. It's not sulfur, but it's sulfur-esque. And once it goes through the Berkey, it's delicious. So.
Travis, I don't know, but I watched a video and that they said that they were the other. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe I'm incorrect. Buy the filters. They're not expensive. Push some water through them. Order some water tests on Amazon. Send your stuff out and see if they work or if they don't work.
I can go to TTU near me to get my water tested.
Yeah, you can go to any college. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Jack, it's time. I'm all for gold, silver, and Bitcoin, but what about XRP? If no, why not? Legitimate question, not trolling.
It's so. Fucking shit, garbage, crap, and if you buy it, you're enriching the people that make it. So most of the XRP that trades on exchanges is not sold by people holding it. XRP Ripple is a company. They manufacture XRP, the token, and they sell it to you at 100% profit because they have no cost of production. Nobody uses it. It doesn't fucking do anything. Nobody accepts it. It is a shit coin that can be hyped for a time and then pumped up and it drops. And it's just recently retained its all-time high from 8 fucking years ago. So if you want to buy that shit and throw your money away, go ahead. If you think it's going to hit like a big gamble or something, all I'll say is if you get lucky and it doubles, dump the fucking shit and get rid of it. It is not a long-term store of value, and it is a security by every definition of the word. But you do what you want to do. But when you have some, like, what was the purpose of Bitcoin? To take away the power of monetary creation from the state and create an uncensorable ledger of payment where Nicole and I could transact with each other and everybody could shriek about it all they wanted, but no one could stop it. What is Ripple? It's exactly the opposite. It's inflated at will. It's burned at will. It's produced and sold into the economy. It's literally fiat. But, bro, you do you. So that's my opinion on that. You do you.
I bought $1,000 of it 4 months ago, 3 months ago. I just looked. It says I have $385 in unrealized gains. It's at like $1,385 right now-ish. Oh, yeah. Bitcoin would have done better. Well, my Bitcoin does do better. I mean.
Yeah, yeah. There is no purpose to it. Like what I was typing when you brought that up, Nicole, because I didn't think we were going to talk about it.
Your answer
is every single person who tries to pump XRP to you says it's really amazing technology. And then you say, okay, bro, tell me about the technology. What does it do that we need and how does it work? And what does it do that we don't already have a solution for? Well, you should watch this video. No. You're the one that told me it's an amazing technology. You tell me what that means. And they never fucking know. What they'll send you is a video of some crypto fucking bro that's paid to pimp shit, who will use a lot of fancy words, but when you actually listen to it and you know what those words mean, it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. So the whole hype around it is it's this amazing technology for the banks. The banks don't fucking need it. There's nothing it does for the banks that the banks can't already do. And as far as the banks, thanks to Orange Man, they're about to go into the stablecoin business. And once they go in the stablecoin business, they really have no use case for XRP. Yeah. All XRP is supposed to be is like this way banks can get around like international transfers or whatever. Once they have a stablecoin system, which they can actually make money with, where they can't make any money with Ripple at all. Ripple makes money. I mean, I really want you to understand it that way. I am Ripple, and this toothpick is one unit of Ripple. Whenever I want more money, I just push a button and issue this and put it on an exchange, and you buy it, and I make money. That is the exact opposite of what Bitcoin and really a lot of other, I would call failures of crypto coins, but at least that's what they tried to do. They tried to put some hard limit on supply, where Ripple is basically like, we'll just change that to whatever we want whenever we want. There is no limit on supply from Ripple or burning it. So you might think, well, burning it would be good for the holders. Yeah, but what if I can make as much as I want? And I stick it here, and then I burn this over here, and I pump this value, and then I dump that on the exchange, and I fuck you again. Yay, you! But keep buying it. And the reason I'm so animated about this, of all the fucking shit coins you could pick, other like we take the meme coins out, like Melania and Trump and Hawk Tall Girl, and like that nonsense. Everybody kind of knows that nonsense. Of all the crypto projects you could pick, you have picked the literal shittiest, most perfectly matched to the fiat system ever as your alternative to the fiat system. Good job, bro.
So is that a hard no, or can I check the maybe box on that for you, Jack?
That would be a very hard fuck no, right? Like, and the thing is, even if you make some money on it, you're enriching the people doing it while you do it. Like, there's other ways to make better money. I mean,
like Doge.
Pay money.
Doge. Oh, Doge.
Doge. Doge is another
example. You recommended to me Broken Money.
Huh?
That book you recommended to me this week,
Broken Money.
That's really good.
Anybody
asking a question like that should listen to that book or read that book.
I don't know if you've gotten to the part yet where a guy's reading it, so I always think of it as him, but yeah. It's Lynn Alden that wrote it, where they're breaking down like the altcoins and the problems with things like larger block sizes, issuance, proof of stake instead of proof of work. Like it just, you listen to it, you're like, oh my God, like, I'm with you. I don't want to explain this anymore. Go listen to this book so that you can get a fundamental understanding of it explained to you by a fucking economist who's based as shit in her understanding of economics. And she's not like just a super pump Bitcoin above all other things person. She is a broad economist, but she is in the school of like, you know, Mises and Hayek and things like that. Like that's her school of thought. But she's much more broad, and that book, as you know now, is more about the history of monetary systems than Bitcoin. Bitcoin's just a supporting character in the book, I guess. The way you
think. Yeah, I just got out of Ancient Money last night.
Okay, okay.
So yeah. I'm nowhere near.
So you're getting the stuff of like the Arab systems and shit where yeah. they made, yeah, yeah. the origins of international banking. It's that book is fucking, I need to put that on T-Spaz. That book is fucking amazing.
It's amazing because it's going through all of the different examples of how things were used in a monetary capacity in ancient times. As best as we can understand. But what that gets you thinking about is a deeper understanding of what money does and is.
What is it? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
And how does it work best? And I predict I will listen to this 14 hour and 53 minute book. So 15 hour book at least twice. And I don't do twice.
I jacked it up to 1.15 to skill through it faster. And that's about as fast as I can play guy without it ruining his voice. He starts to get a little
chipmunk
in his voice at 1.2.
We are the chipmunks.
It is funny, though, because I listen to that book, and I'm friends with Guy, and we talk all the time and shit. So I'm like, I really have, like, I have to constantly remind myself, this is a Guy read. This is not a Guy's take. Like, I'm actually listening to Lynn Alden's words here.
Yes. So the book is by Lynn Alden, and it's called Broken Money. I'm actually listening to it instead of reading it, but you can read it. I actually usually read things, but I have been doing so many things in the last few months that require hands but not eyes, or not and eyes but not ears, that I've gone back to listening a lot more, so.
You know, the other thing is I have like this ass load of Audible credits in my Amazon account. I have no idea exactly where they came from, but right now I've got something like 28 Audible credits, and a book's one credit. So why wouldn't I? It's like, it's free.
Yes. Totally. I signed up for a free trial of Audible because they've been trying to get me for a long time. And I was like, ooh, I get 6 free books.
I understand biometrics data will be used against the user sometime in the future, and they're talking about KYC requirements when buying crypto. I am not aware of any biometrics requirements from any of the exchanges I work with, and like I guess the most mass person exchange I use is Coinbase for some things still, but I don't really buy through them. But I mean, I use Swan, I use Fold. I use Strike. I have never been asked for biometric data. So if that person can explain what they're talking about, it certainly sounds risky, but I just am not aware of any. What biometric data? Are they making you send them a fingerprint or like do a fingerprint and send them your DNA? Like what's going on there?
Well, I know when all my social media accounts got large, I had to send in a copy of a driver's license to prove who I actually was. It's probably something like that.
That's not biometrics. I guess it's facial recognition, I guess.
What's the real ID about to be? You're supposed to have this real ID now to fly?
Well, yeah, I have it. When you renewed your license last, you know, they finally did it. And when we renewed our license, the license has it. But all it really is an RFID chip in the license.
Got it.
Like if I send you a picture of that, that doesn't do you any good. So I don't really know what they mean by biometric data. Is it an eye? I mean, one thing they could do is an optical scan. Like you could, you know.
And then,
but I've never
then
had
people
that.
Can kill you and rip your eyeball out to use it for your optical scan later.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd be silly to think that your phone doesn't already have it while you're looking at shit on your phone. It's already, they've got all that shit. They just come around to admitting that it's there now.
I'm not picking on this guy. I just don't understand what he's saying. And I actually kind of would like to know. And he's kind of like posted and ghosted. So like, dude, tell us what you're talking about or we're going to move on.
Yeah, it may just be the usual lag, Jack.
Okay.
Yeah. But they are using facial scans at the airport now for you.
Yeah, I know that. That's absolutely happening. It's on all the TV shows, so it has to be true.
It's on all the TV shows.
Man, if you want propaganda, just look at the shit, like Criminal Minds shows and stuff like that over the years and the amount of propaganda in that. It's insane. And you realize, like, everything's propaganda.
Everything is propaganda.
Everything is propaganda. If it's in the media, it's propaganda. There's a message with it.
Jose, I just got Broken Money. I have a 19-hour drive back from Missouri. Yeah, Jose, as I said, I'm going to be listening to it twice because there are times when I'm listening to a book doing something and my mind wanders and I'm like, wait, what?
Jose next week's going to be on like X or something and somebody's going to do one of those What Radicalized You posts and he's just going to post a picture of Lynn Alden.
He's a good guy.
I mean, I've read the Bitcoin Standard, the Fiat Standard, and the other one by Safety Animus. I've read Jason Lowry's Soft War cover to cover three times. There was something about that book and its monetary history component to it that I've even, like, it's in the Fiat Standard, but it was presented differently. And it's like the stuff with the Arabic money traders, that kind of shit was like,
yeah.
Now I really understand the problem they were trying to solve, why we left gold, like you probably haven't got this yet, but there's like what they call the telecommunications gap. Once we had a telegraph or a telephone under the ocean to London, and London was the financial center of the world, you could, you know, within microseconds tell the London bank everything that was going on in the world, but there was no way to change the money ownership until they went to like a fiat monetary system. And when you go, like, even the people who say like they weren't malevolent when they were doing all this, but you see how it would become malevolent no matter what, like no matter who did it, like God could have sent representatives down to build it, but as soon as they left and men took it over, it has to be abused.
I can't remember what it's called right now, but that whole network of phone, I guess it is the phone call, the password thing where merchants, and I think it is related to the Arabic markets.
Yeah.
Merchants will get money from somebody here and give them a password, and they get it from his buddy in another country.
Yeah.
That's still being used today to transfer funds. That was fascinating because I didn't realize that was still going on. Like, I knew that happened. I just didn't know it still happens.
Can I play my song that I sent you?
Yes, please play the song.
So I found this dude yesterday, and it was completely unrelated to what I'm about to play. He was doing this like song. It was based on a Backstreet Boys song, I Want It That Way, and it was about like how your girlfriend or wife can never fucking decide where to go to eat, and he ends up like saying, goodbye, I'm going to go eat without you. And I'm like, this dude's got an incredible voice. Is it real or is it auto? So I tracked him down. I found his TikTok, and I can't think of his name now, but it's his name and Chen. Chen's the girl in it. And there's all kinds of parody shit in there. It's all funny. Some of it's him singing, and he's got this very tenor Backstreet Boys kind of voice. He's really good at it. And there's a lot of little skits and all. And then I found this, and it is completely a one-off on his channel, but it actually gave me some hope. Because these are like younger millennials is what they look like to me. Wait, do you hear the words in this, guy?
It's unbelievable that there's a money printer. It's inevitable. It's just too tempting. They will print forever. The cost for this is zero. Do you believe it's possible? Just ask yourself and look at all your bills. Inflation's here to stay, the gaslighting is real. Yeah, one, they'll blame it all on you. Two, increase your taxes. Two, three, a new emergency. Forever wars, cause we can't afford peace. Four, repeat steps one through three. Five, print even more money. And after all the damage has been done, they will start back at one.
Hard freaking core lyrics, even though it's all pretty sounding, isn't it? Like, I was blown away that he was that spot on with reality with that.
Yeah. And that's what's going on. There's your roadmap.
There's your roadmap. We'll start back at one. We'll just do it all over again.
And we can't touch Bitcoin in that way.
Yeah. So. Now, the guy that was asking about biometrics, it is facial recognition. Exactly. You hit that. So include a scan of your face geometry and related information derived from one or more visual images of your face. So let me tell you the reality here. The NSA already has images of your face.
Yep.
The CIA already has images of your face. The FBI already has images of your face. Facebook has images of your face, even if you're not on Facebook, because somebody absolutely took a picture of you, put it on Facebook, and tagged you. The X has images of your face. Like, if your face is online at all, that's there. So I'm not in love with the fact that they're doing it, but of all the things that I'm worried about, it's pretty low on the totem pole. And who's doing that? Like, I have never had to do that. Now I have had to like take a picture like this, with some of the verifying services. But again, if they have the license, they have your image anyway. So I don't know. That's like a, that's a good way to make sure I didn't steal your ID and then like, you know, do a bunch of illegal shit that's traceable, but it traces to you instead of me. I can see why they would do that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Now, somebody earlier said, when are we going to have the person sent to jail with AI-generated evidence?
I don't know. Not yet. It's pretty easy to determine that it's AI-generated right now, but how long that'll last, I don't know.
Anyway. Okay, so Tennessee, talking about changing, adding something to our educational system called the Success Sequence. Have you heard about that? This is what it is. They want to include in education that if you follow the proper sequence of events in your life, you are more likely to be successful, and that includes finishing high school,
being married,
finishing a job or higher education, and then getting married. Don't get married first. And then after marriage, having children.
So who's the most successful generation at having marriages last and life go well?
The greatest?
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe silence. But it wasn't the fucking boomers, was it? And it wasn't us.
No, we didn't do that very well.
And it ain't them. It ain't X and Alpha, or I mean, I'm sorry, Alpha and Millennials. So the only people I know that actually had a really good track record of long-lasting marriages, because the boomers and honestly the older silence, they all blew up in the divorce epidemic of the 70s. So the people that kind of did it the old way seems like it worked better, I'm just saying. But, of course, that was before they modified the economy to make it where a single man working a normal job could no longer take care of his family. Like, it's like the whole system was set up to fuck us, and then – I don't know. This is the natural outcome of it. You kind of do need a career. I don't know. So, you know, if you asked me this when I was 25, I would have said absolutely do that.
What I do know from my years in the policy wonk world is research has continued to support that the things that determine your long-term success the most are, did you finish high school and did you wait till you got married to have children? In our populations too.
Yeah. I bet they're not telling that second one, though, are they?
No.
Wait to get married until you have a career, but they're not probably saying wait till you get married to have a kid.
So from the policy wonk standpoint, legislation like this, and including that in a child's education, is not wrong.
Okay.
But guess how it's being spun?
I don't know.
By the left.
What? You should... Find your gender first.
Tennessee is legislating that you have to push marriage in school as part of the education. So there's like the data-driven thing, and then there's the spin.
So saying defer marriage means you're pushing marriage. See, the left, this is the problem the left has, and they can't figure it out. Their arguments are so stupid that they cannot be defended with logic. Therefore, anytime there's any pushback, they have to become even more stupid in their defense of their ideology, because that doesn't – there is no world in which that makes sense. There's no world – you know, the gender ideology shit with the women in men's sports or men and women's sports, and they say women are just as strong and fast, and they there's no reason to do this or whatever, and trans women are women or whatever. Okay, why do we have women's sports? Ask them that. Then they fucking melt down. Like, why don't we just get rid of Title IX? Why don't we just get rid of women's sports, and we'll just have sports? And everybody, you know why they won't do that. And then all their trans athletes, which are just loser-ass men that pretend to be women because they can be somebody, out along with them. In fact, there might be some women that would make it over them.
Yeah. Well, it's just that watching, this has not been passed in Tennessee. This has gone, this we'll see. It went through the Senate 25-5 on Thursday last week. Yeah. And it has to go through the House, which has more left people, and then it has to be signed into law. That's how the process works. There's going to be committee meetings in there. It may not actually make it to a second vote. We are in April right now. Legislative session is usually winding up. But maybe it will make it. I don't know. It's just if you think about people who finish high school and plan when they're going to have a family, from a discipline standpoint and a focus standpoint, that is also setting a different foundation than if you're like, whoops.
Whoops.
Which happens, it happens, I get it. There's lots of reasons that can happen, but all the reasons that can happen tend to be situations that make it harder to be wealthy, including being in a socioeconomic situation where you live in a geographical location where you're more likely to get raped, for example. Like, then you don't have as much of a support network necessarily to set a foundation for, you know, doing things. That doesn't mean that will happen, but... Yeah. Those factors do influence your future success.
But you know what's more fucked up than perverse incentives is perverse conflicting incentives. Like, so at the same time, they're at least saying this. Think about the fact that through the 90s, early 2000s, and we're still dealing with the fallout of this today, what do we do with single mothers? We lionized them. We made them heroes. Now, when you make something a hero, you have more people that want to be it. Like right now, I think there's a whole lot of people that are non-binary, and you look at them and go, yeah, I wouldn't peg you for that. They just want to be cool, right? Like, it's like they can just create this concept of something that makes people cool or hero or whatever, and then people want to be it, and they start identifying as it. And now we've literally said if you identify it as you are it.
It was the group that was easy to belong to.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the oppression. I call it the oppression Olympics, right? The more oppressed you are today, the more valuable you are today in the popular image, right? Like, you know, like it used to be, you know, if you were an Indian living on a reservation, you were here. But now, you know, if you're a transsexual Malaysian, genderqueer, binary, non-binary, season sexual, which I just found out, season sexual, which I just found out is a thing. Then you are truly oppressed, and you must be lifted up to the highest. It's a season. It's so hard to say. A seasonal sexual is that your gender is changed by the seasons. So, like, you're a woman in the winter, and then in the spring you become non-binary, and in the summer you become a male, and in the fall you go back to non-binary, and then, like, but there's no set pattern.
That actually makes sense, because then you can go shirtless in the summer.
Yes, because now I'm a man.
Stigma. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a penis or a vagina?
But in the winter, I can, if I'm a male doing this, right, I can walk around with my schlang out and be like, no, it's not. It's not. I'm like, my V section's covered. My schlang out, that doesn't count because I'm not a man. Like, this is, that's what I'm saying. These people have no basis, no facts, no logic in their argument. When I think about this, like, I think if you go 20 years ago, I was far more aligned with the right of the time than the left. But there was a lot of shit the left had to say that I'm like, I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with that. I don't think it's me that changed when I'm like, there's literally nothing I agree with. And even if they're trying to stop something, like, I'm not sure this policy that they're trying to put through in Tennessee is a good policy, since some of what it says. But the people objecting to it are objecting to it for absolutely illogical, nonsensical bullshit reasons. And it's like, you think you're helping, but you're not. Like, I can't align with you to stop something we both agree should be stopped, because your argument makes me look fucking stupid by association, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, if you want to go see if it's good, go find the legislative language and read it.
Yeah.
And figure out what you think. And then realize that whatever passes, if something passes, will not be those words.
Do the people opposing it even have children?
Yeah, who knows?
Probably most of them don't. Crazy cat lady.
Vocal people about children don't have children, and therefore should have no real opinion, because unless you're like, if you're somebody that works with kids every day and you actually do your best at it, and I'll listen to you. But the single dinks, they call them now, double income, no kids, right? That have lived a completely by choice disassociative of life from children. I'm not really interested about your opinion about my grandchildren. I'm really not. Not at all. Especially since your opinion is probably that it would be better for my granddaughter, who's 8 years old right now, to be in front of a purple haired freak being asked about her sexual preferences than to be out there learning from one of the best private schools you can have access to over the internet. So I'm not interested in your opinion, because you, and the other problem I have with this, and I'm biologically childless, like, my son is my stepson, so that makes my grandchildren my step grandchildren, but I have a vested interest in them. When you don't have somebody you can look down to and think, when I'm gone, they'll be here and they have to deal with what I left behind. I don't care how well-meaning you are. I don't think you care as much. And it doesn't have to be, like I said, I'm biologically not a father. So it doesn't even have to be like an adopted thing. Like if you have nieces and nephews that you really like, you're involved in their life and you really understand that like what I leave behind is going to affect these people I love. I think you think differently, but there's a lot of people that are not just childless. They are completely child absent. Like they don't want kids around them, but they want to tell you what to do with the kids.
I have perspective on that as a childless female.
What's that?
Where I have nieces who I've been as involved as I can be in their life.
Yeah.
And it is not the same as a mother.
No.
I am making decisions so that their world can be better and all of that. But I see the connection that my sister and my mom have. And that's a totally different scale that I don't see any other way to develop other than if you have children.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if I were to adopt children, I could get there. Maybe.
Yeah.
Which is what you did.
Yeah, and I don't think it has a function to do with how young were these kids when they came into your life. Like, Matthew was 6.
Yeah.
And so they're still very much, like, so I helped raise this child in my home and took responsibility for them. That's very different from someone that, like, well, I have 2 stepkids. And, like, well, when I met their mother, they were, like, 16 and 19. Like, yeah, it's not the same.
Nope.
I think you have to spend time in that developmental phase. And, like, my grandson, my son is not his biological father, but when he came into his life, he was 2. So he's the only father he's ever really known. So that's a different thing as well. And I think there's definitely differences, but I think the biggest issue is, do you have somebody that you literally weep for when you think about a shitty future after you're gone and can't do anything? If you have anybody like that in your life, then I think you view things differently. I just think that becoming a parent is one way to get there. It's not the only way. It's also not a guarantee. Like, there are people that are shitty parents that don't give a fuck about their kids. So I don't think you could just be magically transformed. You have it's the parenting process, I think, that has the biggest impact for me.
Well, I also think it helps you with being able to hear other opinions, because those children develop their own opinions. And if when they say something that I think is bullshit, I just like attack them.
Yeah,
they're just going to double down on that. And so it's a great way to learn, well, okay, where is that perspective coming from? And how do we actually talk about that? And I know that's just talking about things, but it isn't. Like, they're developing core values right now. Mine aren't. I mean, they have core values that they've been developing the whole time. But as I see them going through their teenage years and interact with them, sometimes they say some stuff that's completely different than what I think. And I feel like they need to go through the journey of finding out their truth on their own, rather than me say, well, Aunt Nicole thinks this.
Yeah.
Which is what teachers should do. Start asking critical questions. Start seeding, like, just find out information and then come to your own conclusion. You have a much stronger value development in that way than if you're just like, goo, this is the answer. Goo, yeah. You know?
I mean, teenagers are a layup to tell them, like, your parents' generation are a bunch of idiots and they don't know anything. And you guys are really super smart. You're going to save the world. And here's how to do it. So I just told you that you're super smart, but let me give you the formula. I'm from your parents' generation. That's the psychological game being played, because we all rebel. And we all tend to start rebelling around that teenager first onset up into our 20s. And that's when they have these young people captive in high school and then in university. And I mean, I've seen in my own family, like, nieces and nephews go off to university, perfectly normal, average young person, pleasant to be around, and come back completely woke by Christmas of the first year, right? My nephew, you know, coming home and doing this, always like, what are you doing? White privilege. That's the W. White privilege. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What happened to you? Do you own a mirror? Right. You know, and he's come back around because he worked his way all the way through law school, actually went out and worked in the world and woke up for real. But he had about a 7-year period of complete mental retardation. And I mean, I love this kid like a second son. Like, I was very involved in his young life. Like, this is where I'm like, so it doesn't matter how well-rounded that person is when you put them in that institution. This is what's going to happen to them.
Yep. Okay.
Watch the Beavis and Butthead thing on White Privilege. I saw it yesterday.
Where they go forward in time and they're in the now and they're at
I don't know, but they're in a
college.
College, and the professor tells them about white privilege. So they're like, "Oh, I didn't know I had this
privilege."
So they go to the cafeteria and they take the whole cake, and they're like, "Well, it's our white privilege. We can just do whatever we want."
Steal a cop car and shit.
Yeah.
Because if you're white and male, you can just do whatever you want.
Nobody will call the police.
Whoa, I was not aware of this. Oh my God, that's fairly old too. That's been out a few years.
I just saw it yesterday.
Oh my God, that is, it makes me want to see the whole movie. I haven't seen the whole movie.
And I don't even like Beavis and Butthead. Like, I didn't even like The Simpsons when it first came out, but I enjoyed that few minutes.
I always liked Beavis and Butthead, but I think it's because I go back to the MTV generation where they were born. And we used to, like, when we were partying in an apartment or something, we used to have it on in the background, listening to music. And then, like, everybody just kind of, like, partied and shit while the music was on. But it was like little segments. It was only like 2 minutes long of Beavis and Butthead. And the storyline went through all the videos, right? And we'd like, oh, everybody, listen, let's hear what they're saying. Okay, let's drink again. Like, and so it has good nostalgic memories.
Yep. Are you threatening me?
Are you threatening me?
Okay.
That's what I like to say to law enforcement when they stop me.
Are you threatening me? You got to pull your shirt over your head, though, John. Right. Yeah. My favorite Beavis and Butthead moment, because I know where you're going next, Nicole, but my favorite Beavis and Butthead moment, they're sitting in class, and Butthead takes the pencil and throws it on the floor. Eraser first, and it bounces up and sticks in Beavis's eye, and Butthead says, "Whoa, it really does happen." That was the best moment of the whole show.
They're all leftists until they have to pay taxes, is what that should say.
Yep.
This is why getting a job at 13 that was a real paycheck job, it was very enlightening for me.
Yeah, 13, that's when I got mine.
And then when I was working, I mean, I did other, like, harvesting in the field stuff before then, but then I worked at where my dad was the plant manager at a peanut factory later, and they had union fees. And I remember that. I was like, why am I paying union fees? I'm not in the union. Well, because we negotiate all the wages here and you benefit, so you have to. What if I don't want? What if I just negotiate? And, you know, like, I remember having that discussion. That was my first interaction with unions. It did nothing for me in that factory.
I saw something yesterday that said a boomer works one job for 40 years. The next generation worked 40 jobs for 1 year. The current generation is saying, why even work? And if you look at that current generation that's like, why even work? It's because they're still living in their damn parents' house. These people let their, you got 35-year-olds. I have women on my floor right now that are between 60 and 70 years old that are in here. Hey, I need to come out of retirement. I need to come back to work. Can I have a job? And their shitbag adult kids are at home. They're complaining about them running up the electricity bill and eating all the food out of the room. When I get home, all the shit that's in the kitchen is going to be eaten. All the dishes are going to be dirty, and my electricity bill is run up. But they let them stay at home.
There should be an app for that.
Yeah, it's called Get Your Ass Out of the Fucking House.
Yeah, a stranger shows up and hits them with a shovel.
Like the ejection app. You have to do biocentric bullshit like we were talking about earlier, KYC, to prove you own the property. Once you own the property, you're like, number of ejections needed, 1. Description of ejectee. You just fill it out, and then you just walk away, and then somebody comes and throws them out. If I needed a job, that'd be a good contract job. You just, you know, instead of foreclosing cars, you're de-foreclosing houses. Like, get the fuck out. But see, these people let this happen. Like those women that work for you, they're allowing that to happen to themselves.
Absolutely.
Parasitism.
I just don't understand wanting to go back to live with mom. Like I could not wait,
man,
to get my butt out of that. As much, I mean, I have great parents. I love my parents. They're very supportive. I was ready to leave.
You see it happening. Like, okay, so there's no industry. There's nothing here, right? So kids join the military to escape. Or they go to college. They go to college and they get even more radicalized and liberalized. They get their job at Starbucks. They realize they're staying at the house with their friend. They're sleeping on a couch or spare room. Friend gets married. That no longer exists. They're not going to make it. They're never going to work anywhere because Starbucks doesn't pay a living wage. So where do they go? They go back home. And here they are. And the retirement plan here is feign injury long enough to get a bad back check. The state's going to give you $1,100 a month. grandma's going to pass away, you inherit the trailer. All you got to be able to do is pay property tax once a year. You see it happen all over.
And I'm telling you right now, there are people that Doge is right about. So
oh, yeah.
Grandma's like 78 and she dies.
Yep.
It never gets reported to SSI. He's got power of attorney for grandma so he can take care of her bills and shit. And he doesn't necessarily, or she doesn't necessarily say, I'm going to scam SSI. But they notice, like, when they look at the bank account, that the deposit happened.
Yep.
So, like, oh, cool, I guess you get one more. And then this goes on for 10 or 15 years, and it's still coming, and they're just living in this person's home and living off their SSI. That shit is happening.
Dude, you got multiple generations at the exact same address, they said. They've got 20 checks going to the same address.
And generational welfare is a thing at this point in history. That term was thrown around when I was a kid in the 80s a lot. And it was somewhat true, but you know, now we've got another 30, 40 years of it. We have people that, like, the first person in the family that was on welfare is long dead. And there's nobody in that family's ever known a life without some form of assistance. And it's not always the full on, you know, stereotypical welfare mama thing. It's SNAP, it's Section 8, it's all these. A lot of these people have jobs, but they work 20 hours a week. Or they end up on disability because of shit they did to themselves. Like my sister's husband had a really great job. He was a crane operator and on those, and the big cranes, right? Like cargo trailer cranes. But you use your feet a lot. There's a lot of sensitivity to that work. Well, he's on disability now because he lost his foot because of diabetes. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't born with diabetes though. How'd he get diabetes? Fudge rounds in the mouth. So he's on that. My sister was all upset when her kids aged out because she stopped getting her WIC. Like, no, that's for your kids. They lived in Section 8 housing. That finally wore out on them where they don't qualify for that anymore. And now they're a little bit younger than me, and they're in this kind of like
poor
place.
Me.
Like you're 51 years old or 50 years old, I guess she is, and you've never had a really you never had a career. All you've had is like working in a grocery store or something like that. That's all that's available to you now. Like you're not going to go out and start a career at 50 when you've never done anything up to 50. I mean, there's exceptions. Don't get me wrong. But in general, like you'll hire anybody because you're like, here, let's see if you can do it. And either you do it or you wash out. But if you were running a company that was more like a company that has a career progression into management, and you have a 50-year-old sitting in front of you, and their best job they ever had was working at a giant grocery store. And you have a 21-year-old who their best experience is working at a giant grocery store. But that person's young and motivated. Who are you going to hire into that program? You know, it's discriminatory, but it's reality. Fuck.
I want to read this set of comments because this is payday for all of us.
Okay.
This is Dan the Delivery Man. I asked you guys about how to start my homestead startup last year, and all you got caught up on was I wanted goats. I'm lactose intolerant. So I got Finn sheep to milk and I got organic scrap food from a local organics store. I'm tractoring quail, chickens and sheep and planting silvopasture and fruit trees. Thanks for getting me to start and not get goats.
There's nobody that has goats that still wants goats. I mean, there is, of course, but
it's the most eaten animal in the world for a reason.
They're terrorists.
I have two pet goats.
Because killing them makes your life better.
Yeah, they're terrorists.
They're delicious. I mean, don't get me wrong. And if you have the right, absolute right, airtight setup, they can be fine. But
and anywhere,
if you want one thing up in your setup, they'll be on your roof or on your Porsche.
And anywhere you have goats, anywhere you keep goats, you can keep something better. And it's sheep.
It's sheep. It is sheep, especially since they make those marvelous like St. Croix and Katahdin and Dorper that are hair sheep. You don't have to.
That's what we got, St. Croix.
I didn't really know about those animals way back when I started, and I went up to Ben Falk's place, and he had sheep that got fly strike in August, and I'm like, fuck sheep, no. And then when I found out there were actually sheep where that would never happen, I'm like, okay, I'm back on the sheep train.
Yeah,
fly strike is gross, guys.
Fly strike is disgusting, I hear.
Ugh. Ugh.
We never had it.
His girlfriend at the time, his wife now, made some sort of herbal thing, and it worked. We had to shear this sheep in August, which is terrible for the sheep going into winter. And we were pouring this herbal concoction on it, and it was like a horror movie. It was hundreds of maggots every time you'd pour it, just pouring out of this animal's skin.
Like,
and I'm like, I'm not ever doing this ever. And Ben's like, this has only ever happened one time. I'm like
for right now. And I don't need to ever see that again. Okay. I tried to bring this up a little earlier, but we had sort of a thing going on there. And we're getting on towards the end. So this is probably our last audience question. Thoughts on jury duty? I got a summons for later this month, John.
Jury nullification. You do have courts when you bring it up where they will threaten to put you in jail for bringing it up. But you need to know jury nullification.
Yeah, go learn about that. Jack, what say you?
So I was only ever summoned to a jury once that I went to anyway. And when I did, it was a murder trial. And they asked me a certain screening question. I won't get into answering it. But they basically vetoed and threw me out. So I don't have any practical experience of being on the jury. I will say I never wanted to be on a jury, but when I learned about nullification, I kind of do. But I would also say, like, I would not vote not guilty just to nullify something that I, like, if the guy, like, legitimately robbed somebody or hurt somebody, you know, I believe that he did it, I would vote guilty. But, you know, if I got on a trial and it was for, like, marijuana possession or something like that, just not guilty. But he said he did it. Yeah, not guilty. Like, immediately is where I'd be. But I don't think the three of us are getting on a jury. I mean, any defense attorney or prosecuting attorney that did their due diligence would find a reason to get rid of all three of us. I mean, I don't know. I also have gotten summons and just thrown them away and nothing happened.
Yeah. Who's the victim should always be the question. Like, the state doesn't get to be the victim.
I have served on a grand jury in my county because in order to serve on jury, you have to have not been arrested.
Okay.
And that, not been convicted.
Okay.
True. That knocks out a lot of options in my county, apparently. And so once they started calling me and I kept delaying it because of work, I finally was like, you know what? I really can make time Thursday from 12 to 6 or whatever their time was. And I go in there and I said, just so you know, if any of these are drug charges, I'm just going to say no. And on the grand jury, 100% have to say yes for that to go further. So they sent me out of the room every time anything. So I spent the whole time out of the room except for two things, two violent crimes.
Okay.
And in hindsight, I've never been called back again.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, if I had been called to jury duty now, rather than thinking of it as something to get out of, having learned what I've learned about the criminal justice system, I would keep my mouth shut, answer their questions, and then if I got on the jury, do exactly that. Nope.
Yep.
Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty.
Same. My issue, though, is that the majority of people don't think that way, and so this still applies. Going to jury trial is trusting your future to 12 people too stupid to get out of jury duty. The odds that one's a John Willis or a Jack Spirico or Nicole Sauce is pretty low. They're probably all people that wanted to get out and couldn't figure out how, and they're still there. And then you're going to trust your life to them. That's the whole idea. But I'd still rather be judged by 12 and carried by 6 at the same time. Like, you know, you have to live our lives.
Ed Silio says, on a jury once, they made me foreman. The scariest thing is all these people can vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about that chick that was on the grand jury for Trump in Georgia? The young chick? They sounded like a you know what I'm talking about? She sounded like a complete freaking mental retard. It was kind of cool because I had to swear him in and it was so great. Like, holy shit, you're talking about somebody's future here and you're cheerful about it, right? And we're not talking about a pedophile or some shit. Like, and even if it was, if I was the jury foreman on a grand jury and the guy was a pedophile and I was secretly at home going, yeah, I would never publicly talk. Like, how stupid are you that you publicly say that? Like, you're just basically giving like a stack of pages to the defense attorney in the appeals process. That's what you're doing when you do that. Like, it's so ridiculous.
That was her 5 minutes of fame. I mean, that was literally the best snapshot of her life.
I mean, honest to God, like, I pick on people, but if this girl has an 80 IQ, I'd be surprised. Like, she's somewhere south of 80, probably just north of 75.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever got called again, I'd go if I could, for sure.
I would. I don't think
that is different than what I would have said in my 30s, for sure.
Yeah.
It was just a pain in the butt then. So,
I have a story about this.
I do see a future, and you can have an impact on the future in that way, actually, for one person.
Yeah. So. You know, some states have made it legal to use jury nullification as a defense, and it's never actually worked. I think New Hampshire has that now, and I think there's one other state where it's completely legal. You can literally go in and say, I'm using jury nullification. And it doesn't work because people – I think people don't understand how much control and trust a judge has over a jury. Like a judge can steer a jury heavily, heavily, heavily. There's – what's his name? Is it Harrison Ford? It's somebody like that, but I don't think it's Harrison Ford, but it's somebody in that age bracket. There's a mini – like a series, like a made-for-streaming series – I can't think of what it's called now, but the guy is a judge in it, and you really see that. It's very well done. I think there was two seasons of it. I can't think of what it's called, though.
Okay. Cool. Well, I think we're at 2 hours, my friends. We could go on another two, but then I know John has stuff to produce there. He has shit to get done, so to speak. So let's wrap up. Let's go once around the horn. We'll start with you, Jack, today.
Real quick, I did look it up. The show, if you want to watch, it's called Your Honor. And it's really, really well done. On top of that, I am Jack Spierko, host of The Survival Podcast. Been online since 2008 with that show. 3,400 plus episodes. We talk about everything to do with self-sufficiency, self-reliance, independence, and liberty. Come check us out. And I'll do a little quick pimp here for one of our partners, Ben Falk. Over at Ben Falk has a new class out called Permaculture Pond Masterclass, and it's really, really cool, and you can find out about it on my website at thesurvivalpodcast.com.
Cool. John, what do you got for us?
John Willis from Special Operations Equipment. We are running a promo. Every order for every $5 gets you an entry into the giveaway, which ends today, I think. So You're running out of time. We've got a mystery order going. You can check that out by being on our text app or our email, which you can get on at the website, soetacticalgear.com. I do a live video every night at 9 o'clock, and we have 6,000 some videos on YouTube that are more than just me walking around and yelling at the camera.
And I'm Nicole Sauce from the Living Free in Tennessee podcast and Holler Roast Coffee. So if you want to get the freshest coffee delivered to your door, including K-Cups, which literally just arrived last week, and I drove some out to John to start putting in his packages, which means it's the freshest K-Cup you can get right now. Check it out, hollerroast.com. We've got tickets up at selfreliancefestival.com. There's been some confusion about the date. October 4 and 5. That is the date. Anyway, check it out, selfreliancefestival.com, and we'll see you next week. Bail you out or just run month. You around. They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay.